I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. The 36th chapter of the book of Chronicles, and we're commencing to read at the verse number 11. Once again, we follow the reading of God's precious word, that's 2 Chronicles, and the chapter 36, and commencing to read at verse number 11. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his word, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young woman or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. You'll notice that the prophet Jeremiah was mentioned, and just let us read one part of his prophecy, Jeremiah 52. And it says this in Jeremiah 52, some verses, just a couple of verses from this passage of God's word. In verse number 10, "And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also the princes of Judah in Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, the king. And the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death." Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just have a wee word of prayer. Commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to open thy word, and we pray that thou will bless thy word to our hearts. We pray that thou will help us to speak well of our Savior, and be like Paul, who said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." We pray that thou will bless thy word now in the ministry of it. We pray that thou will give us liberty, power, that we might preach Christ. We pray in the Savior's precious and the Savior's lovely name. Amen. Amen. The responsibility of a preacher is an awesome responsibility. I know people rib the preacher sometime, and they say to the preacher, "You only work one day in the week." And that's, they think that that's just simply it. Well, that's good for thinking, but life's not like that. But the man of God who seeks to be faithful to God has a solemn responsibility when he stands before a congregation. It's not simply standing before a people. It's not just simply getting up and giving a few words, and then that's the service over, and that's where the responsibility ends. I say preaching God's precious word and to be faithful to God is an awesome responsibility. The prophet Ezekiel got this challenge from God in Ezekiel 33, verse 7. Son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. And when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. And when a preacher stands in the pulpit and seeks to stand there as a minister of Christ, the word of God is very clear to his responsibility. Son of man, I have set thee a watchman, therefore warn them from me. He's not simply standing there to say what his denomination or his church says. He's standing there to preach the word of God. Son of man, warn them from me. And God says, if you don't warn them, and they die in their sin, God says, their blood will I require at your hands. He says, if you do warn them, and if they turn not from the way, then says he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. That's an awesome responsibility. Paul, when he's writing to young Timothy before he died, in the second book of Timothy, he said this to Timothy. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He says, preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. My friend, my responsibility is not what man does with the word. My responsibility is to preach the word. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, Timothy, I charge you, I give you a solemn charge, that when you're standing before a congregation of people, you have one duty and one duty only, not to the hearers, not to the congregation, but to God. I charge you before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Timothy, you preach the word. And that's the burden of responsibility that this preacher has tonight as I stand before this congregation, is to preach God's word. Now, Jeremiah, we turned in the chapter 52 a few moments ago, and Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And he was called that because Jeremiah was a man with a burden. He lived through the days, he lived through the years of turmoil in his nation. And he saw the judgment of God was coming, and God did not give him an easy task. God gave him a solemn responsibility that he had to discharge faithfully. And there were times, let me tell you, Jeremiah stood completely alone. Because in Jeremiah's day, there were other preachers as well, and as is recorded in the word of God, they said, peace, peace, when there was no peace. In other words, they led them into a false security, and they give them a false hope, and they did not preach the word. And Jeremiah had to bring the message of God, and his message was this: judgment's coming. That God was going to raise up the Chaldean army. And that God was going to raise up a man, a wicked man, yes, Nebuchadnezzar. And they were going to come into the city of Jerusalem, and they were going to destroy the city, and they were going to carry the people into bondage. That was the message. It wasn't a message of deliverance. But it was a message of the judgment of God if they did not repent, if they did not turn to the Lord. And so Jeremiah, over a period of 40 years, he sought to be faithful in standing in the gap there and preaching the word of God and calling the people to repentance. Of course, when you imagine it, 40 years is a long time of ministry. And whenever he started to say the judgment was coming, friend, listen, there were people who said, well, listen, where is this judgment? And people started to, as it were, to undermine the prophet of God. Where is the judgment that the servant of God is talking about? Where is the judgment that this prophet is speaking about? And because it didn't happen immediately, friend, people didn't believe him. People didn't want to hear it anymore. And the sad reality was not only away back then, but even whenever the Chaldean army came into Jerusalem and took away some of the people into bondage. And that time, the first deportation was Daniel and his three friends were a part of that first deportation. And they carried them into Babylon. And the kings of Judah, including Zedekiah, he was left in power in Jerusalem at the diktat of the king of Babylon. But even with all of that, the enemy at the gate, they still didn't want to hear. They still didn't want to know. And they hardened their hearts against God, friend. And they didn't want to receive what God had got to say. Let me tell you, friend, there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible tells us. Because man's heart is so hard that, listen, you know, I can think back whenever I was a young lad, I heard preachers talk about the second coming of Christ. And I heard about the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, that great event that is still to take place. And the Lord Jesus Christ as yet hasn't come. And you know, people say, well, where is the promise of the Savior's coming? Where is he? Where is he? Where is this Jesus? He hasn't come again. The preachers have been preaching for years that he hasn't come again. Well, the word of God says, we read it this morning in our congregation, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Listen, he'll keep his promise. Don't you worry about that. You leave that with God. But God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. But, he says, the day of the Lord will come. So man, we mock about the coming of Jesus Christ and that he's, well, he hasn't come. Where is he? Let me tell you, don't you worry. He'll come. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will come again. The only thing you need to be worried is that you're ready. That's the only thing you need to worry. That you're ready. It says that he's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. Let me tell you, my friend, whenever I think of these young people that have been taken away, and yet you and I are left, just remember this. God has blessed you that he's kept you here. God has been merciful in keeping you here. Because if God had taken you this week instead of Jill, instead of that little mother with two little children, if God had taken you, friend, and you're not ready to go, where would you be tonight? Let's be honest. You'd be in hell. And Jill's in heaven. Jill's in heaven. And when my friend, the preacher, was visiting her on the last day before she died. And they gathered round her bed and the preacher couldn't read the word because his heart was breaking. She reached out her hand and she took the Bible. And she read to the family the word of comfort from God. What can make a person at 32 years of age, what can make a mother with two wee children, friend, do that?
It's the grace of God. You see, Jill knew Jesus. Jill was saved. Jill was ready to meet her Lord. And she went home to be with Jesus Christ. But God's long-suffering. And God has kept you here. And if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, listen, thank God God has kept you here to give you another opportunity to hear God's precious word. Now I want us to look just a little few moments tonight around the word of God in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And there are four simple things that I want to draw to your attention. First of all, the contempt of the sinners. The contempt of the sinners. This is what it said. Zedekiah, verse 11, chapter 36, Chronicles. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Now, who was Zedekiah? Zedekiah, let me tell you, friend, was the son of Josiah, who was the king of Judah. Josiah's father Amon died after reigning in Judah for 2 years in Jerusalem. And his father did evil in the sight of the Lord. Josiah was only 8 years of age whenever he came to the throne. But he was surrounded by elders in the land. And there must be godly men, because the Bible tells us that at 16 years of age, Zedekiah began to seek after the Lord. At 16 years of age, Zedekiah come to know the Lord. Chapter 34, verse number 3, he began to seek after the Lord. At the age of 20, Zedekiah cleansed the kingdom of idolatry. His father had been an idol worshiper. But Zedekiah had come to know the Lord, and he knew that he would need to cleanse the land, and he cleansed the land of idolatry. When he was 26 years of age, he repaired the house of the Lord. And he reigned until he was 49 years old. Now, friend, let me tell you, as far as this young man was concerned, this young man was not brought up in a godly home, or he had been brought up in a godly home. And we find that Zedekiah had a tremendous privilege to be brought up that. But Zedekiah, whenever he came to the throne, he did not know the Lord. His father did, but he didn't. And the Bible said that he started to reign, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did that which is evil in the sight of God. In other words, he loved his sin. And that's the natural thing about every one of us, friend. We love sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And Zedekiah loved to sin. Let me tell you, he wasn't afraid to sin in the sight of God. He did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. Listen, God was looking at him. God was watching his conduct. But he didn't care. He didn't care. And I wonder tonight, dear unconverted person, do you realize that even in the darkness, that God sees you? That you can't hide from God. You will never be able to hide from God. Thou, God, seest me. David was conscious of this fact. He said, God, against thee only have I sinned. And he says, I've done this evil in thy sight. And God's watching every one of us. And God knows our every action, friend. There's nothing about you that God doesn't already know. Maybe you've forgotten a lot of things about you, but God knows all about you. Thou, God, seest me. Thou dost know me altogether. And Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, so every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. In other words, there's a day of an account. There's a day of record. There's a day of judgment. And John got that vision concerning that day, and he said this, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open." And so he does evil in the sight of the Lord. And then it also says in verse number 12 of chapter 36, he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. He didn't care what God had got to say through his prophet. He was so rebellious in his sin, he didn't care. He loved his sin, he wanted his sin, he practiced his sin, and he was going to keep going on in the sin. Didn't matter what God said. Now, God's prophet Jeremiah said, judgment's coming. You need to repent of your sin and turn away from your sin and turn to God. Friend, that's not Zedekiah. Zedekiah so loved his sin, he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the word of the Lord. It didn't matter about Jeremiah. He was speaking from the mouth of the Lord. God was speaking through his servant. You know, that's the tragedy about man's sin. He loves it so much that doesn't matter what anybody says. Listen, he loves it so much he won't let go. He will not humble himself before God. He will acknowledge that he's a sinner. He will not acknowledge that he needs God's salvation. And if you spoke to some people, "Are you saved, friend?" Let me tell you, nearly spit in your face. You handed them a gospel tract, they would just think that they were smart. When they crumble the gospel tract up and they throw it in the ground and put it in the gutter and they put their foot on it, and they say to themselves, "You know what a big fella I am." Let me tell you, friend, he never was as small. He never was as small. Because let me tell you, that gospel tract speaking about God, the God that that man's going to have to meet, the God that that man's going to have to face, the God that that man's going to have to give account to. And yet he crumbles that gospel tract up or throws it in the ground. And he walks on and he feels he's the big fella. You know why? Because he won't humble himself before the Word of God. I want to say, men, and I want to say, young people and older people tonight, women, you're not too big to take God on, friend. Don't play the fool. There is not one tonight, but let me tell you, if you will not humble yourself before God, I want to tell you there's a humbling day coming, because you'll stand before God and the books of God will open and the record of your life will be read. And you'll stand in the presence of the God that you wouldn't humble yourself before. And the very word that God had for your heart that you wouldn't take. And one day God will humble you in his presence. And then it says in the word of God, "Then shall I say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. Get away." And friend, that's solemn. Because that soul that hears, "Depart from me, I never knew you," that means he goes to hell. Away from God forever. Now you mightn't think that that's solemn, friend. I do. Zedekiah had the faithful warning of God. God's servant was sent. Listen, he spoke from the mouth of the Lord. "I have a word from God for you." And friend, tonight, that's a solemn position a preacher's in. He's here to preach the word of God. And that's not my book. And that's not the church's book. That's God's book. And I've got to warn you from him. Son of man, warn them from me, says God. Warn them from me. But he wouldn't humble himself. But notice something else. He went further. Because it says there in verse 12, he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord his God. He humbled not himself before the Jeremiah the prophet speaking from the word of the Lord. He also rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck. Or he stiffened his neck and he hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. You see, when God spoke to him, he stiffened his neck. He says, I'll not yield. God will not break me. And when God calls him to repentance, he says, I will not come. I will not serve God. I will not forsake my sin. I will not leave my sin. I will not trust in God's Son. I will not receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I will not. And the Word of God says he stiffened his neck. And he hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Now, some people might think that that's a very strong-willed man, friend. Let me tell you, he's nothing of the sort. He's a fool. He's a fool. Because the Bible says fools make a mock at sin. I'll never forget the words of a woman. A woman who was faced with a doctor's news one day. He says, I'm sorry, dear, you've got cancer. And he says, you haven't long to live. And you know what the woman said to the preacher when he talked to her about her need of Jesus Christ and needing to be saved? These are the words she said, and I quote, if God thinks that is all it is going to take to get me to humble myself, I have news for God. It'll take more than this to humble me. The words of a fool. If God thinks that's all it's going to take to humble me, to break me, the news of cancer, then I've got news for him. It'll take more than this to humble me. And the sad reality is this, that instead of breaking Zedekiah's stubborn will, friend, it says he would not humble himself. He stiffened his neck. He hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Secondly, the compassion of the sovereign. And the sovereign I'm talking about is God. Look at verse 15 very quickly. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because God had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. My friend, let me tell you, you and I, humanly speaking, could understand if God saying, well, listen, if you want your sin, have it. If you want your sin, have it. If you want hell, have it. And God could cut a person off. Why does he not do it? He said, listen, God had compassion on them. There's the love of God. There's the love of God. And friend, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. But listen, do not presume that God will always be merciful. The Bible tells us that God will not keep his mercy forever. God says in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, I stretched out my hand but no man regarded it. And God reaches out his hand of mercy and pardon and love to sinners. And the hands of our Savior are nail printed, because one day the Savior so loved me that he went to the cross of Calvary and he shed his precious blood that I might be forgiven my sin, that I might know forgiveness of sin and pardon from sin and peace of God within. And God gave his Son. He was wounded for me. He died in my guilty room instead. He shed his precious blood that I might be redeemed. God had compassion on sinners. You know, one of the scenes that always touches my heart when I go to Israel is to stand on the Mount of Olives. And I stand on the Mount of Olives and I look down the Kidron Valley and then up into Jerusalem, and I see the Temple Mount there before my eyes. And it's always a touching experience for me, because I'm reminded of what Jesus did on that mountain. Because the Lord Jesus looked over that city the same way as I'll do, God willing, in the month of July. And when Jesus looked over that city of Jerusalem, the Bible says Jesus wept. He wept over it. You say he was a very soft one. No, friend, listen to me. Listen. Why did Jesus weep over that city? He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen would gather her brood under her wings, but ye would not. You didn't want me." He reached out his hand of mercy. He would have gathered Jerusalem in love and in compassion, that they might experience his peace within their hearts, but ye would not. And then the Savior said these words, and I think they're one of the saddest words that Jesus ever uttered. He says, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." It's not that ye cannot come. It says you will not come. You won't come. And let me tell you, friend, very simply and plainly in this service tonight, why are men and women lost for all eternity? It's simply because they will not come to Jesus. They will not come. They want their sin. But the wages of sin's death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The price of sin. But men and women will not come to him. And yet the Savior had compassion. The enemy was outside the city. The prophet of God warned them the enemy was coming. The enemy was going to destroy the city. But they would not listen. Yet God gave them opportunity to be saved. What did they do? Very quickly, the cruelty of to his servants. Verse 16. But they mocked his messengers. And they despised his word. And they misused his prophets. And let's be quite honest. There's people stand in the gospel open air and speak about the Lord Jesus Christ and about God's salvation. And people walk past them, let me tell you. You know what they think? They think they're fools. You know what them fools? You know what them fools? That person standing out, handing out a gospel tract. And many people, let me tell you, just either throw it away or say, "No, thank you." And they look down their nose at, as if that wee person standing holding out a gospel tract was the dirt of the ground. And the word of God says this: they mocked the messenger of God. They thought he was a fool. And then let me be honest.
I preached in this community for 47 years now. And boy, as many as a time I've been called a fool, that fool McRae. Let me tell you, friend, I'll accept the charge. For preaching the gospel, I'd gladly be a fool for Jesus. But tell me, whose fool are you? Whose fool are you? They mocked the messenger. Let me tell you, my friend, it doesn't count. The messenger's nothing. It's the message. A word from God. And I say this without apology to everyone in this service tonight. I want to tell you, God says concerning me, God says concerning thee, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's not one of us who'll make it to heaven our own way or by ourselves. We need Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the Lord Jesus is not a way to heaven. You take it your way, preacher, and I'll take it mine. Let me tell you, my friend, it's God's way of salvation because it's God's heaven. And everybody wants to get that God's heaven, but they don't want it God's way. But you'll find out there's only one way. And Jesus says, I'm the way. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, friend, is the only way to heaven. It says they mocked the messenger. And then listen to this. They despised his word. They hated what he was saying. Do you know why? Because it didn't suit their life. And that's why people don't like a gospel preacher, man, because it doesn't suit their sin, doesn't suit their life, doesn't suit their lifestyle. I'm the boss of my life. I can do whatever I like. I can do whatever I want. No, friend, listen. God's the one that has given you the breath. God is the one that formed you in your mother's womb. God's the one that you'll answer to. And we'll all find out that God's the one in control. And if God tonight was to withdraw that breath from you as you lie in your bed, it's over. God said to a man in the scriptures in Luke chapter 12, the man says, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater, and I'll say to my soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Boys, you can get them nearly expanding the chest. You have much goods laid up for many years, and you take your ease. And boy, when you get them buildings up and you get the barns filled and all the rest, you take your ease, you eat, you drink, and you be merry. Read it, Luke 12. You have many years to do it. And God looked over the parapet of glory and God said, listen, thou fool, tonight, tell my friend, who is right? Did the man live as many years? Had God the power to say tonight, oh, yes, he has. And God has the power to say to me tonight. But thank God, when you're saved, it's absent from the body, it's present with the Lord. They despised his word and they abused or misused his prophets. And here's my last thought, the coming of the sword. Notice these words in the end of verse 16. They mocked the messengers, they despised the words, they misused his prophet, until the wrath of God arose against his people, till there was no remedy. It was over. God brought the sword.
See Zedekiah? Let me tell you. He was the last king in Judah. God says it's over. And there in front of his own eyes, in front of his own eyes, this boastful king, he would not humble himself before God. He didn't want God. He didn't want God's way. He didn't want God's word. And what did he do, friend? Let me tell you. He was running away from the army, and they caught him. And there in front of his own eyes, they slew every one of his sons. There wasn't another son to sit on the throne. In front of his own eyes, they slew the last one of them. And then you know what they did? Then they put his eyes out. The last thing he saw was the judgment of God upon his family. Boy, that's a sad scene. What does it tell me? It tells me, friend, you can't mock God and prosper. You can't defy God, friend. Jeremiah said, the army's coming. And they came. Oh, yes. Seemed to be years. But they came. And they captured the city, and they destroyed the city, and they destroyed their houses. Aye, and they burnt the temple. And they ravished it. And then they took the people into bondage. And the only ones that left was the poor people. Took everybody else with them. God's word was fulfilled. And that's why I'm saying, friend, listen, God's word will be fulfilled. God's on the throne. And I pray that each and every one tonight has a personal knowledge of the Lord. That you're ready for his call whenever it comes. And the only way to be ready is to trust in God's Son, who's the way to heaven. By faith, receive him as your Savior. Turn your back, forsake your sin, and turn to the Savior and receive him. And as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. Now, remember where I started. The responsibility of a preacher is a solemn responsibility. He's got to preach unpalatable truths. But God says, warn them from me. Now, friend, you've got answer to God. What you'll do with God's Son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word this evening. Realize it's a solemn word. Realize, our God, these are solemn things we're talking about, the issues of eternity. But then, our God, we realize that thou hast provided in thy Son a great Savior. There's great news in thy word. There's a Savior from sin. There's one who can cleanse us and pardon us and forgive us and make us clean and make us pure within. Justify us just as if we never had sinned through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Oh God, bless every head that's bowed. Bring everyone to a personal knowledge of thy Son. Let not one be lost. Let not one go away without Christ. Save them by thy grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.